to That Was Wild, a Minnesota Wilds reaction podcast brought to you by Hockey Wilderness at SB Nation. I am your host, Matthew Smith, and you can find me on Twitter at From Tape to Tape. And I am here with Grace.
Yes, hello, I'm Grace Rimp. You can find me at GRH Shrimp, Great Shrimp.
Terrible game. Easily.
Yeah. Yeah, terrible game. Somehow I'm badder than I was when they were shut out. I don't know why. Yeah,
the worst game of the series. No doubt. Yeah. I was much more satisfied with the first game of the series when they got shut out, simply because it felt like the process was there. They were doing all the right things and they were just getting goalied, and I don't know how mad you can get about that.
Right. I'm like, that was just an incredible game for Billy Huso. And it not a lot to do with us, it felt like. Like, things just weren't going in. Tonight, I just think they played bad.
Tonight they played very, very poorly. You wanted to talk about some good things. I'm against that. I don't think there was any good things. There was nothing good to take away from tonight. I'm probably just being a little too pessimistic. There's probably something.
No, I mean,
good.
I get it. I love to be pessimistic. It's frustrating because this was sort of, best of three is still left. Like, series is not over, but it felt sort of like this was a good moment to sort of handily take the lead, and they just, and while the Blues line, like D line, is completely depleted, like, what an opportunity, and they just said nah.
Yeah, it was depleted coming into the game. They somehow decided to dress seven defensemen, which I'm surprised there were seven defensemen in the organization.
Two dress, yes.
They're like, we're going to really scrape the bottom of the barrel in order to ice seven guys. And then they lost Scandella during the game. So, yeah, they just continue to...
It should have... Yeah. We should have crushed them, but I don't know.
Yeah, so why don't we go over the really bad stuff? And I guess there are probably one or two good things to say. We'll save that for the end to go out on a good note. Let's kind of start with the one thing that most people have been focusing on is probably the worst part, and that is Kevin Fiala, having a really just a heartbreaking season breaking playoffs so far, especially because of how well he was playing coming into the playoffs, and that we've already touched on this in other after other games, but it's brutal, and it doesn't feel like normal, like Kevin Fiala, like squeezing the stick, like trying too hard. It's like everything he's doing is terrible.
Well, it's really frustrating because it's the things that you know that Dean and Guerin and company are going to point to later when Fiala's like, give me money. You know, it's going to be like, we can't trust you. You're irresponsible here, like, lack of consistency. And you don't want to see it.
Yeah, like a misbehaving teenager. I think that a lot of people are going to point towards, in his defense, a lot of people are going to point towards this as an indication that he's, you know, not built for the playoffs, or his game's not built for the playoffs, when in reality, this is probably just like a market correction for how hot he was coming into the playoffs, because he's always streaky. It's just...
Right. Well, and I mean, that's why you have multiple, like, players like him. You know, you people, they can't. They can't be as dominant as he was for as long as he was at the end of the regular season. But I hate that it feels emblematic of that people are going to use it. It's just frustrating. And it's not even frustrated at him. It's sort of just, ah!
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I would say that... I mean, maybe we just, there was an article today that we just put out talking about the New Jersey Devils possibly being interested in acquiring him in the offseason. Maybe uh-huh. This performance would make that pill easier to swallow. But
yeah, it almost does the opposite for me, because I still think that he's incredible and don't want to lose Fiala. So I don't want sort of the things that will lead to that to be there. You know, I want him to be consistently great. And mm-hmm. so, you know, Bill Guerin has to say, how do we make this happen? Let's make this happen, and not shrug his shoulders and say, well, you didn't prove it. We told you to, and you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had 6 penalty minutes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Now they were all pretty bad. It was the double minor was not his fault. I will say that. So
right.
I suppose that eliminates some of that, but.
Yeah, but that last one with 2 minutes left and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first double minor, in the replay, it showed that the Blues player actually lifted Fiala's stick into his face. But that also happens all the time. So, I mean, whatever. Sometimes it breaks your way. Sometimes it doesn't. But he only had 2 shots on net. And he did get an assist on the Poldi goal, who, yes, sweet summer child, his first career playoff goal. But he really didn't have anything to do with that.
There was chaos.
Yeah. So, yeah, just a brutal, brutal. And, I mean, it's nice. It's nice when they're winning, when the Wild are winning, or have been in the other 2 games, that the Kaprizov line and the Grief line have been clicking and doing their thing. Unfortunately, tonight, the Grief line was bad.
Bad. And I mean, I can't even... It's too bad they were bad. We sort of count on them. I can count on my hand, like one hand, the amount of bad games they've had total this past year. And
almost over the last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, like, far be it for me to say, like, you guys can never, ever, ever have an off night. But, it felt like a bad night to be an off night.
Yeah, a brutal night.
I think they had, like... 8 minutes-ish for, like, total time on ice.
Yeah, at 5-on-5, 8 minutes and 4 seconds, and they, yeah. I think only Eriksson Ek got shots on net. So Eriksson Ek got 2 shots on net, and both Greenway and Foligno were held off the board. And not to mention that they weren't their normal, like, stout defensive selves. It's, like, almost fine if they're not producing offensively, but when they're not having a great night defensively, it kind of that's a not great.
right.
it's a recipe for disaster. Yeah. So tonight we had Fiala going through whatever he's going through, and then the Grief line was having a bad night. So that kind of dooms, honestly. Like, unless, you know, Tyson Jost is going to come out of nowhere, they're kind of screwed. They just are.
Right. And I mean, I like Delorier and I like Duhaime, but I mean, asking Tyson Jost to come out of nowhere on the fourth line, getting nearly no time, you know, I mean.
Yes. Brandon Duhaime is great. He tries hard all of the time.
Yeah.
And he's a psychopath on the bench. And Delorier brings what he brings. But to say that Jost is saddled with those two, I don't think is wrong. Like, he definitely has the potential to be on another level.
It's not unlike Fiala's experience early in the season, you know, where just sort of the mixing pot of, like, whatever other people we can put.
Yeah, whatever's
in.
Left.
Jost is probably a greater player, a more skilled player than that, but
yeah,
it's asking a lot for him to turn the game with.
We'll be right back with some more That Was Wild in just a moment.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to That Was Wild, a Minnesota Wild reaction podcast. So the other thing was that it probably wasn't the best night for Marc-Andre Fleury. I think he would agree with that. He was stopped 29 of 33 shots. Obviously, the score getting run up by empty net goals sort of inflates how bad it looked. But
yeah, a good first period. That penalty kill, yeah.
He was the only reason they were still in it after the first period, because it easily could have been 3-0 after the first period.
But I mean, it's a lot to ask, I think, a goaltender to stop as many goals. I mean, it was 10, I think, in that penalty kill that he pretty much did alone. It's a lot of momentum to try to keep up through the rest of the game if no one else is playing with you.
Yeah, he was really good on the penalty kill and kind of kept it close. The Blues seemed to just sort of have their run on the power play.
Yeah.
Which was pretty discouraging to see after last game when the Wild looked so great on special teams.
Yeah, it sucks that you sort of feel as though we have, I mean, I understand it's hockey, hockey's voodoo, but like to have no idea what the special teams are going to look like any given night. Like you go in with absolutely no idea which way it's going to go.
Yeah. It does really feel like a crap. I mean, honestly, saying that it's going to be a crapshoot, whether it's going to be good or bad, is probably a little more optimistic. It's bad more often.
More likely going to be bad.
Than not. Yeah. And it's frustrating because I don't think that they're nearly as bad on paper as they seem to show up on the ice. So yeah, so Fleury, I don't know. The goals weren't great. I mean, especially that last one. that also kind of felt like he was phoning it in at that point. Like,
yeah.
The game was already over when that happened. But yeah, he wasn't his strongest performance, but was still good in his first period.
Do you still ride him?
I don't know. Like, I was really going to start pining for Cam Talbot in the third if he let in another goal in the second. Like, that would have been the end of it. Mostly not as an indictment of Fleury's play, but more as an indictment of the rest of the guys in the room.
Yeah, at a certain point, it's less... I mean, it wasn't Fleury's best night. I feel as though at a certain point, it's less about the performance of the goaltender and more just like some sort of refresh, some sort of reset. A goaltender can kind of reawaken the other players a little bit.
Yeah, I would be cautious about starting Talbot over Fleury in the next game. Again, not a great game from Fleury, but to say that I don't think I would say
it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he definitely didn't, you know, he didn't win the game for them, obviously. But it was more on the rest of the guys that they lost that game. It was just too bad. Too poor of a defensive showing from the rest of the guys than it was about his bad play. Yeah, so maybe we'll talk about some good stuff. Unless there's any other bad things you want to highlight.
Oh, Lord. No, we can stop talking about bad things, I think. Good things are harder. I think Middleton was good this evening. At least that's what my eye test told me. You have some stats in front of you. Maybe you can prove me wrong, but, hopefully I do think, you know, they started to press near the end and perhaps that'll be the start of Boldy, Fiala and Goudreau having a little bit of luck. You know, they broke something, Boldy getting a goal, so maybe that will turn around. And I mean, the series isn't over. All of us had predicted that it would be a 6 or 7 game series. I had convinced myself since then that it was going to happen in 5, but...
Yeah, no, I definitely still was... I think even in that last game, I still felt like it was going to be 6 or 7. Just because this team, the St. Louis Blues, are really, like, annoying... mean way too, not like a fun scrappy way, like in a mean way,
right? Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they weren't going to, this was, I mean, potentially their last chance to beat us at home. Like, if we had won this, if Minnesota had won this one, then we'd go back to St. Paul and win there. And so, they were going to push. This was going to be a hard game. I thought that maybe Minnesota would push back at all, but.
Yeah, especially with making the switch to Binnington and net, they were clearly like, it kind of reeks of desperation. A little bit.
Yeah!
Not to sound so high and mighty when the series is tied 2-2, but it definitely felt like...
But when you have to go to Binnington.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's, you know, oh, like, last move, like, you know, I'd try anything, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, Middleton was good. I'm still missing some stats on exactly how good, but it did feel like they were good. Obviously, well, him and Spurgeon were great. Holy hell, Jacob Middleton. Yeah, 26 shot attempts, 4-7 against at 5-on-5, which is extremely good. Extremely, extremely good. Yeah, him and Spurgeon were fantastic tonight. That is kind of where it begins and ends for the defenseman. Because
we don't need them.
We're not going to talk about the rest. Middleton and Spurgeon were great, which is a little bit. I know they were fantastic during the season, or when the short time that they spent together in the season. It's still kind of wild to see a pairing built with Jacob Middleton succeeding so much. I realize that a lot of the work might be coming from Jared Spurgeon, but it is still impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Spurgeon is sort of the preeminent pair him with anyone and he'll make them look good. Defenseman in the
league. Yeah, exactly. The other good thing, the Kaprizov line was also extremely good tonight. Nothing faces Kirill. Nothing.
yeah, I mean, noise around him and he'll score.
Yeah, like when he came out, well, for him to come out and score that goal, to really kind of keep them in it, what felt like they really needed to keep themselves in it. It was huge.
I mean, in that first period, I mean, the shot differential was goofy, lopsided, and to still get a goal from him felt good.
Yeah, it just felt really, I mean, the first period was extremely choppy. There was a ton of whistles. It felt like it
slow.
Felt like it took 15, 20 minutes just to get through the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I aged 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. But it really brought a lot of energy and felt like they were going to get back into it. And obviously they never did.
They didn't.
It was all uphill from there. The other highlight, I guess, is Boldy's first career playoff goal. That line on paper really wasn't that bad. No. Like, Gaudreau, Boldy, and Fiala managed to have 11 shot attempts for versus 2 against. Did get a few like high danger chances without giving up any. So it's that line was great, but it really does feel like Gaudreau and Boldy are doing all of the work on that line at the moment. Like, Fiala, fell over the blue line at one point.
Oh my god, that is...
As the only man back.
I don't want to laugh at him, but holy moly, like, that was really funny. Oh,
I felt bad for him in that moment, because it was like, is there anything that is not going wrong for this man right now?
Yeah, that felt like, it felt like television, I mean, like a comedy sort of thing, just you can't get anything on, and then you just fall, oh my god, it was so funny.
Yeah, like some, like, sad trombone music over top of him falling deeply with the puck. It was, luckily it didn't come back to haunt him, but, yeah, those are good points. The good players continue to be good.
Yeah, and best of three. This, I mean, like, we're tied, it's fine, we're gonna be... Two out of the next three games will be in St. Paul. It's not over.
No, I still feel really, really good, honestly.
Yep.
As terrible as tonight was, I still feel pretty confident about where this series will go. But hopefully they'll come back.
I'd love to have won it handedly, win on Tuesday, and then not be so tired when we face the Avalanche, but we can fight all 7 games. That's fine.
Game 3, I was like, I, as much as I still thought it was game six, I was like, this series is over. What is it? They're never clawing back from this. It's not even going
to
be.
Blues don't know how to play hockey.
Yeah. So they needed to knock, the Blues decided to knock me down a peg after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll end it there.
Cool. Yay. So,
thank you everybody for listening. I've been Matt from Hockey Wilderness and Grace's as well.
Grace. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.